Okay. Parshas Ve'era. Okay, Parshas Ve'era. Tav Shin Ayin. Aleph. I knew that. Okay. This Parsha, the opening psukim in this week's Parsha, give us a perfect opportunity to really get a glimpse of how you have to learn Chumash, just Pshat. Even just reading the Pshat is never going to be enough, and I'm not speaking about going into anything deeper than the Pshat. Just understanding what the Pshat is saying, sometimes you need other information. You need to know Tanakh in order to understand what the Pshat is saying. Okay? Because things are alluded to which are clarified in other places. For example, today we're going to see that it's Yechezkel that's going to tell us what's going on in these psukim. And they're not clearly stated, but the ideas are implied. Now I must say that today's shiur is in large part an outright plagiarism. No, it is of Menachem Liebtag, who is excellent in Parshanut of Chumash and Navi, and he opens up really, in a way, this whole first few psukim so clearly. He does such a good job, and you can see his Torah, by the way, on Virtual Based Medrash, VBM, OU. And this is, we're going to work with his ideas, but of course we are also going to go beyond some of his ideas and discuss the concepts that his ideas bring us to, basically. You know, the understandings that are implied in the Chumash here and the importance of them. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to start reading the psukim, and we're going to ask some very simple questions, because on a simple reading, they're not so coherent. In fact, a lot of what Moshe seems to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like non sequiturs. Where is it coming from, and what is he saying, unless we understand what's going on beneath the pshat? So, first of all, the way the parsha opens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to what Moshe said to Hashem at the end of the last week's Parsha. So let's jump back to the end of Shemos for a moment. That's Perek Hey, and Pasuk Chaf Beis. So the background information here is, okay, that according to Ramban, based on the Medrash, that Moshe was sent to Paro to speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Paro dismissed him, didn't take what he said very seriously at all. Said, I don't know this God and I'm not interested, and goodbye. And then not only did he do that, he made the work harder. In the interim, Moshe had returned to Midian. According to Medrash, 3 months, 6 months or so, he was then spoke, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then spoke to him again and said, now go back. When Moshe came back, he met the Jewish people, the leaders, who had just exited Paro's palace or had recently spoken to Paro, maybe it was a matter of that day or a few days, and they had come to Paro to petition that the new decrees, which were instituted because Moshe annoyed Paro, which were that they had to find their own straw, that it was impossible and there was no way to meet the quota, and they were furious at Moshe for coming, then making these big promises and disappearing, and months passed and Paro forgot about it or disregarded it, and their lives got more miserable. And here comes Moshe again, and they're taking out their anger on Moshe. So they say to Moshe, you put ammunition in his hands to make it worse for us. And you've made our scent abhorrent in the eyes of Paro, in the eyes of his servants. You put a sword in their hands to murder us. They complained against Moshe. And they said, you know, nothing got better. So Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Vayomer, and he calls Hashem in the name of Adnos. Very, very important. The name of Adnos, Adon, Aleph, Dalid. That name is, according to Ramban and others, the name of strict justice. Now, the reason that that's the name of justice is because an Adon is your master. Now, when we say your master, we don't mean Lord, creator of heaven and earth. We mean your personal master, so that like a valet who comes, brings their, you know, the master their shoes or their tea. In other words, they're under the direct surveillance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every little detail. So he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in using this name of Midas HaDin, and he says, Lama Hariyosa La'amazeh? You see every little thing, and I'm questioning your methods. Why have you been so bad? Why have you brought so much misfortune upon this nation? And Lama Zeh Shalachtani? Why did you send me? And again, these questions, Hashem had said to him, it's not going to go quickly. He's going to ignore you. So I'm going to do great wonders, and therefore I'm going to teach the world a lesson through him. So Moshe knew the answers already. He knew why Paro wasn't listening, and he knew why he was being sent. So Ramban and different Mefarshim speak about what, you know, his question, which is not the subject of today. He thought it would go more quickly. He thought it would go more systematically, maybe not immediately, but not, after, you know, not things wouldn't go backwards. They might not go forward so quickly, but not backwards. And then he says, Umei oz bati el paro ledaber b'shemecha. And since I've come to Paro to speak in your name, which name? The name we spoke about last week. The name of Emes. There's no Emes. He doesn't even care. He's disregarding it. This is the name of pure truth. And to him, it's meaningless. And things have only gotten worse, and you haven't saved them. Now, we have spoken about in the past, not for today, Moshe's impatience, so to speak, the way the Geula goes, starts and stops, how that's natural, how when Moshe says, Me'oz batu yel paro, from the time I came, expecting things to systematically get better, and they didn't. His understanding was that the Geula goes in a very coherent and organized fashion, from worse to a little better, to a little better, to even better than that. That's not what happens. And he learns his lesson, just to remind you, but it's on, as we said, we've spoken about it in the past, with that word Oz shows up again. He learned his lesson by the Yam, Oz Yashir. But let's be very careful here. Moshe was expecting things to go in, as we said, in a coherent, systematic order. And at the Yam, it became very clear that that's not how things work in a Geula, in a Giloy Shechina. Now, how's that? They got to the Yam. There's mountains on both sides. There's a narrow pass behind them. There's an ocean in front of them. And Hashem causes the wind to blow all night, and they cross the Yam. That's good. But if you look at the big picture, you realize this is what will happen. Here they finally left Mitzrayim. And Makos Bechoros, it was like awe and shock. And they are on their knees, the Mitzrayim. And they get out of our land and take everything and pray for us. And you think, okay, now we're on the way. That's it. We're good now. 3 days later, total change of attitude. There they are with their entire army coming to get you. Just when you thought it was over, the fury, they're returning in fury, worse than it ever was. You get to the Yam, you think, now God, do me a miracle. The water splits. You're not safe because you run into the water and they run right in behind you. It's very important to remember that the splitting of the sea did not save Klal Yisrael. The reason Hashem split the sea was to do a miracle to prove that he was greater than all the gods, including the water god, the rain god, the chief god of the oceans, which was the chief god. There was a shrine to Baal Tzephon, their main god, right on the Yamsuf, was the water god. And right there, in front of Baal Tzephon, he drowns the Egyptians. This whole splitting of the sea was to prove that God was more powerful than the sea god. It did not save Klal Yisrael, because they were in the sea, and the Egyptians were in the sea, right behind them. What saved Klal Yisrael? The collapse of the waters onto the Mitzrayim at the last second. That's what saved Klal Yisrael. Not the nace of the splitting, but the return of the natural order. Not the nace. The return of natural order saved Klal Yisrael. So what we're saying is, first they think they're free. Then the Mitzrayim are behind them. Then there's a big nace, and the nace isn't doing anything to help them. Then finally, when the nace is over, all of a sudden they're saved. That's not how it's supposed to go. So don't be disheartened when our geula that we're waiting for and our progress and our days starts and stops. We think we made progress and it looks like we're taking 3 steps backwards. They're getting stronger. They're more vicious. That's how it goes. That's exactly how it goes. And that's what Moshe learned on with the word Oz by Oz Yashir. Okay, that's all not for now. Anyway, but that is, by the way, that is my father-in-law, he should live and be well, of Zalman Wien's insights into the Oz. Now, based on the Balakeda. But now, here in our parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to Moshe's impatience, which my grandfather, by the way, in the Mayan Beis HaShoev, if you have that safer, describes that the midah of tocheles, of patience, waiting for the geula, patiently waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to play it out his own way. And that's what Hashem is responding to. Now, let's go carefully through the words, ask a few basic questions. V'yadaber Elokim El Moshe. That's Elokim, midas hadin, that Moshe's questioning, who is responding to Moshe. You're asking for, because Moshe said, spoke to Hashem b'lashon adnus, strict justice, which is similar to Elokim. And, are we good?
No, I'm going to get your voice. Okay.
And he spoke in a way that adnus is similar to Elokim. And Hashem, and he's asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to act like that. Hashem says, v'yom Elokim el Moshe. Elokim says to Moshe, v'yomer elav. He spoke to him, he says, Ani Hashem, I am Yudke Vavke. Now we said that Eke, Asher Eke, is the same as Yudke Vavke, correct? Remember that? Because it's Aleph is first person. When we speak about Hashem, we put the Yud in third person. It's Ani Hashem, I am Yudke Vavke, that spoke to you and that told you that I'm coming B'midas HaEmes Sholei, pure truth. Ve'eril Avram el Yitzchak vel Yaakov bekel Shakai. I appeared to them with the name Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lem. There's a lot of Rashi and Ramban and Ibn Ezra on these psukim. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe? He says, up until this point, I've appeared in the name Shakai, which we're going to see becomes very significant. But the name Yudke Vavke, I did not let them know. Rashi points out here, it's not that I never spoke to them using that name. I did. But that name, as I explained to you in last week's parsha, Hashem is telling Moshe, Eke Asher Eke, is the name of pure truth. Part of truth is that the things I promised will come to fulfillment. Now, I promised them a lot of things, but those things have not been fulfilled. So they knew the name technically. I did speak in the name, but they didn't actually come to know, to see the reality of that name. They didn't live through the fulfillment of my promises, which is the fulfillment of that name. So it's not that I never used that name. That's not what the pasuk is implying. It's that they never knew me in that name. They only knew that it would be. I would be one day validating my promises, but I didn't do it yet for them. But now is the time. There's going to be a switch. Now, the switch is going to be from Shakai to Yudke Vavke. Shakai is the name we find by the Avos, and the manner of Hashkacha associated with the Avos was in the name Shakai, which implies Nes Nistar, which means, as we explained here in other times, the difference between a Nes Galoi and a Nes Nistar, as Ramban explains also, is not that a Nes Nistar does not, you know, is not a manipulation of nature. Everything's always a manipulation of nature. He says that all the brachas that Hashem promises us, that if we do the mitzvahs happily, the rain will fall and the crops will grow and the children will be healthy and there won't be any poverty and there won't be any war, it's all nisim through teva. So the difference between nes nister and nes nigla is not the greatness or the shockingness of the nes, it's the purpose. A nes nister is to ensure the survival and the success of the individuals or of Klal Yisrael. And a Nes Galoi is to prove so that you can point a finger and say, this is Hashem. See what Hashem did? This is a Giloi Shechina, a revelation of God. Such as at the Yam, they pointed their fingers and said, Ze Keli Vanveo, this is God. So you might say it's more of an interference in nature, perhaps. But it's not that one is not an interference and one is, yes, an interference. One is less, maybe, although it's more hidden, you might say, but it's for survival. The other one is to prove Ani Hashem. Saying now it's going to change. This geula is not just ensuring Klal Yisrael's survival, which is a priority, but it's also going to teach the world Ani Hashem. Now, go into Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, he said, now Hashem seems to be elaborating here, but if we don't understand the specifics, we think it's just like poetic license. So, Vagam, and also, so a couple things. I'm switching to Yudke Vavke, which means I'm going to teach the world a lesson now. And in addition to my need to teach the world a lesson, I have certain obligations to Klal Yisrael. That's in addition to the world, to what I want from the world. So in addition, Vagam, Hakimosi esprisi itam letet lehem et eretz kanan et eretz megurehem asher garwa. I am going to uphold the bris I made with them to give them eretz kanan, the land that they lived in, the land of where, of their sojourning. Now, Hashem is making here a direct reference to something, which we have to know, otherwise we don't get these psukim, and we think they're just kind of meandering. Because in the next pasuk, Hashem says, v'gam, and in addition to that, there's a lot of in additions here, Hashem is stating all the like, kind of things on the agenda that he's taking care of. Also, I heard their cry, that the Mitzriim are enslaving them, and I remembered my bris, which he already just said. Therefore, go tell Klal Yisrael, Ani Hashem, which he already just said, pretty much, and I'm going to take them out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. Here are the four Lashonas of Geula, right? Votzesi Eschem, Vitzalti Eschem, Vaga'alti Eschem, right? Bezroa Netuya. Next Pasuk, Velakachti Eschem Lila Am, Vahayisi Lachem Lalohim, and I will be for them a God. And they will know, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem, constantly reiterating these names, who took them out from under the burdens of Egypt and brings them to Eretz Yisrael, which I have raised my hand to give to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to give to them as a Yerusha, I am Hashem. So this seems to be repetitive unless we know exactly what's going on. When he says in Pasuk Dalet, I will uphold the bris I made to give them Canaan, the land they lived in, he made a bris. Hashem once made a bris, and in that bris, he specifically promised Eretz Canaan in this Lashon as the land of the, that they had lived in, of their sojourning. Which bris are we talking about? Turn back to Perek Yud Zayin in Bereishis. What pasuk is it on? And what page is it on? Because I have a different permission, you guys. 70 what? 72. Okay, this is the, which bris?
Mila.
That's right. Bris Mila. He appears to Avram Bekel Shakai, as he just stated, that he appears Bekel Shakai. And he says to him, in pasuk Ches, V'hakimosi esprisi. Look at the exact same lashon in pasuk Ches, in Bereishis Yudzayin, and pasuk Dalet in Shemos, Perek Vav. Shemos says v'gam hakimosi esprisi. Pasuk Ches says exactly the same. V'hakimosi esprisi, and I will uphold my covenant beini ubeinecha, between me and between you and your children after you, for generations, lebrit olam, for an eternal bris. Lios lachal Elohim, which we just saw in these psukim, to be for you a God and for your children after you. And look at the next pasuk. In pasuk that was Zion. Sorry, Ches. V'nasati lachal lezarecha acharecha es eretz migurecha. Same words. The land that you are living in. Es kol eretz Canaan. Same words. Lachuzas olam v'hayisi lahem lelokim, and I will be for them a God. Okay, so these are the exact same words here. He's giving them Eretz Canaan, the land that they lived in. He will be for them a God with the name Shakai. He's telling that he's telling Moshe that the time has come to make good on this bris. That's in addition to making the name Yud Kei Vav Kei known. So there are two things on the agenda now. To be seen as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Mehave, Yud Kei Vav Kei. I'm not saying Hashem's name. Means the one who brings everything into existence. Past, present, and future. Pure chesed, which we've spoken about. The world will know this, Hashem. In addition, Klal Yisrael have been promised to inherit Eretz Yisrael. As long as they fulfill one condition, that I will be for them a God. They will follow in my ways, personally. They will follow me. They will do my will. Then they deserve to come back to Eretz Yisrael and re-inherit this land. But then he goes on to say, something else is going on. Hashem has an additional obligation here. V'gam, and in addition,
We?
Yeah. In Hebrew?
No, that's what you said, re-inherit. Like Hashem and?
That Klal Yisrael will inherit the land that he promised the fathers. They will come back from Mitzrayim and inherit the land. That's part of the first bris that he owes to Klal Yisrael. But then he goes on to say, V'gam, and in addition, there's something else going on here. Ani shamati es nakas b'nei Yisrael. I've heard their suffering and the persecution, and I remembered my bris. What bris? There's another bris. Turn to Pasuk Tesvav, Perek Tesvav. This is the bris which we call bris ben absarim, and it's a little bit different than the bris milah, and actually came first. In bris ben absarim, 68. Okay, in page 68, look in Perek Tesvav. So here, Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is in the Brisbane of Sarim when Avram cut up the animals and divided them in two parts. And Hashem said to Avram, Yadoa Teda, you should know that your children will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Va'avdum, that's what we find here, and they will enslave them. That's what Hashem is now seeing, the slavery. Ve'inu osam, and persecute them 400 years. And then they will be judged, and then they will leave with great wealth. And you will die peacefully. But the fourth generation will come back here. And he made a bris with Hashem on that day. Hashem made a bris with Avram, and he said, Lezarecha nasati es haaretz hazos. To your children I have given this land. And look at the borders. It doesn't say Eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan, the land that you have lived in, because they've only lived in a small portion of Eretz Canaan. But Minahar Mitzrayim, from the river of Egypt, which, by the way, doesn't mean the Nile. The river of Egypt is Wadi al-Arish, which is the border between Goshen and Egypt. It's the eastern border of Egypt, close to the curve that leads up to Gaza. Minahar Mitzrayim ad ha-Nahar Gadol, Nahar Pras, to the Euphrates. And the Keni, the Knezi, and the Kadmoni, that's in addition to the seven nations that are on the east of the Jordan. And the Chivi, and the Prizi, and the Rephaim, and all the other nations. So, in Bris Ben Absarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises it's a whole different ballgame. There's going to be a persecution. But then there's going to be a big Geula with great miracles, and they're going to leave with enormous wealth, and they're going to inherit a huge territory. That's Bris Ben Absarim. Bris Milah is much smaller in contours. It's Canaan, where they lived, if there'll be a God. Now, we're not going to go into this subject, which is a subject in and of itself, that the Geula has like two, that there's two possibilities. A smaller Geula, which Hashem takes them out of Mitzrayim and brings them to Eretz Canaan, where they lived, and that's it. Or a big Geula with miracles and wonders and etc. And it all depends on the worth of Klal Yisrael, on the merit of Klal Yisrael, which kind of version it's going to be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says here, I intend now to start the process of fulfilling all of these things, making the world know that I am Hashem, no more free lunch, fulfilling my first promise to Klal Yisrael, which is the smaller promise, fulfilling also the bigger promise. It's all possible now, right? And that's why he says here, L'chein emor, therefore. So this is, by the way, Rashi says all of this. Rashi tells you, if you look at the Rashis, that when it says to give them Eretz Canaan, Rashi says, La'avraham, he promises, but Parsha Samila. And then later when it says, I've heard their suffering, that Mitzrayim is enslaving them, and I remembered my bris, he says, Zeb bris ben absar. Says it straight out. Two different covenants. Now, therefore, because I am now intending to do all of these things, which I promised but never fulfilled, which is basically the fulfillment of my name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, so Lachain, Emor Libnei Yisrael, go tell Bnei Yisrael. Now this is some kind of message. The message is Ani Hashem. Now what is implied in that message? Votesi Eschem, and I'm going to take you out, all the Arba Lashonas of Geula, and I will bring you to me as a nation. V'hayisi Lachem Le'elokim, and I will be a God to you. Now what does this mean? V'yadatem, and you shall know Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And you'll know that I am your God. So tell them, Ani Hashem, I'm going to do all these great things, and you know what the end result is going to be? You're going to know that I'm your God. That's the whole purpose. And that's why, and I am your God, that you're going to know that, the God who took you out of Mitzrayim. I'll bring you there to Yisrael, and I'm going to give you the land. And Asati Osam Lachem Morasha, I'm going to give it to you as an inheritance. That's a reference to Bris Ben Absarim, the one in 15, where Hashem said that I'm going to give it to them as an eternal inheritance. He's going to do everything. Now, Moshe goes and tells Klal Yisrael all this stuff, but we have a question. Tell them, Ani Hashem, and you're going to know that I'm Hashem. V'yadaber Moshe Keino B'nei Yisrael. So Moshe goes and tells them this. V'lo Shamu, and they didn't listen. Mikotza Ruach U'me'avoda Kasha. Now this is confusing, the pshat itself. Why? They didn't listen physically? No, they listened. They didn't hear him? Of course they heard him. They didn't understand him? It's not very complicated. What is Lo Shamu? They didn't listen to him. They had no patience to accept his message, but it was a great message. The time is, it's starting, chin up. Hashem is going to fulfill all the promises, all the different covenants that he made. And then they don't, and the Pasuk only says, because you know what? The Kotza Ruach, they had shortness of breath. What does that mean? Shortness of spirit. Their spirit was diminished. It was too much hard work. Now, we're going to come back to this. V'idav Hashem Moshe Lemar. Hashem then says to Moshe, Bo, come, Dabar al Paro Melech Mitzrayim, go talk to Paro, and he's going to send the Jewish people out of his land. Now he's going to do it. And now he doesn't tell Moshe now, oh, he's not going to listen to you. He says he's going to do it. What does it say? V'dabar Moshe Lefnei Hashem. Now Moshe spoke before Yud Kei Vav Kei, the God of MS, the God of everything, who's going to interfere in nature now, change everything around, make it very clear who he is and what the purpose of Klal Yisrael is. And he says to Hashem, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamo elai, the Jews didn't listen to me. Ve'ech ishme'eni paro. So how will Paro listen to me? And then he adds, Va'ani arel sfasayim, which we're not even going to talk about now, but why is this here? He didn't, you know, complain. He didn't say this the first time. But in any case, what kind of kavach omer is this? The Jews didn't listen to me when I was coming with a positive message for them, a hopeful message for them, because they're exhausted. Why will Paro listen to me? But Paro's in a completely different situation. Like, it's not a Kal V'chomer. Unless it is a Kal V'chomer. But if it is a Kal V'chomer, what does listen mean? When he says, if the Jews didn't listen to me, how will Paro listen to me? That, when we talk about Paro listening to Moshe, what does listen mean? He doesn't mean listen, hear, understand. He means obey. Obey, send the Klal Yisrael out. So now here's the Kal V'chomer. If B'nai Yisrael didn't obey me, why would Paro obey me? But we don't see Moshe giving B'nai Yisrael a direct command to obey him in any way. That's why if you learn Tanakh, you have to know all of Tanakh, which is what Rashi and the Mefarshim, without any computers, knew all of Torah Shebichsav, and all of Torah Shebaal Peh, by heart, so that they can know what's happening where. That's one of the basic benefits of those Perushim. It's not until you get to Yechezkel, okay? The Navi Yechezkel, who prophesied while Klal Yisrael were already in Golus. And it's in chapter 20 of Yechezkel, and this I owe gratitude to Menachem Liebtag for clarifying all of this. It was in the seventh year, in the fifth month. Okay, this is when the people who had come down to in Golus Bavil had been in Golus for a while, and they came to Yechezkel, and they said, well, why isn't Hashem saving us? Why isn't Hashem doing something? So in response to this, Yechezkel gave them a little Musar Shmuz, and he made reference to a previous redemption, which is Mitzrayim, and what happened there, and they should learn a lesson from that, but it wasn't quite a parallel. So Hashem said, let me read. It was in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth of the month, some men of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Hashem, and they sat before me, Yechezkel speaking. Then the word of Hashem came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, and say to them, Thus says the Lord Hashem Elohim, is it to inquire of me that you come? As I live, I swear that I will not relate to your inquiries, the word of Hashem. Won't you rebuke them? Won't you rebuke them, son of man, talking to Yechezkel? Inform them of the abomination of their fathers. Say to them. Okay, now we're going to start reading in Hebrew. Okay? Say to them that. He said, okay, I'll read a little bit more in English. Thus says Hashem Elohim, on the day I chose Israel, I raised my hand in oath, the bris, right, the promise, for the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. Made myself known, remember? We just spoke about that. Hashem will make his name known. I raise my hand for them saying, I am Hashem your God. So he says, Nasasu yadi lehem. I raise my hand to them to take them out of Mitzrayim. And on that day, I swore, telling them that I would take them to a land that flows with milk and honey, be more beautiful than all the lands. For Omar Aleihem, now this is what Abel Yechezkel is saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back then in Mitzrayim, which is not clearly in the Pesukim. For Omar Aleihem, and at that time, when I raised my hand to save them, I said to them, each person, Shikutzei Einav, Hishlichu, each person cast away the detestable idols before your eyes. Would be Galule Mitzrayim Al Titamu, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. Ani Hashem Elokechem. I am Hashem, your God. Vayamrubi. But they rebelled against me. Velo Avu Lishmoa Eli. And they didn't listen. Ish es shikutze enehem lo ishlichu. They did not cast away their abominations. V'es gulule mitzrayim lo azvu. And they did not abandon the idols. V'yomar, and I said, as if to himself, Hashem says, l'shpok chamasi aleim. Let me let my wrath pour out all over them. And let me finish them up. Besoch eretz mitzrayim. Right there in Egypt, I'll wipe them out. V'as leman shemi. But I did something for the sake of my own name. Lebilti hechel le'enei hagoyim. So it should not be, what's the hechel? Desecrated in the eyes of the goyim. Asher hema besochem, that they live within. Asher nodati aleihem le'enehem. And before the eyes of those nations that I made myself known to them. Lehotziya me'eretz Mitzrayim. Lehotziya me'eretz Mitzrayim. And I took them out of Mitzrayim. And I brought them to the Midbar. So now Yechezkel is telling us that when Hashem said to Moshe, go say to Klal Yisrael, this is the message, Lachain, therefore, because I want to take you out, and I want your geula to be of the larger sort. We're big osos and mofsin, and ruchosh gadol, which is the Torah, and give you the great boundaries. I want to do this on the highest level, and in the process, teach the whole world ani Hashem. Therefore, go l'chein emor l'bnei Yisrael, and back in pasuk vav, ani Hashem. That is a command. That is a tzivoy. Ani Hashem means if you know that I am yud kei vav kei, automatically you will rid yourselves of the idols. How do you know this is true? Because the first two dibros are exactly the same thing. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? And the next dibra is Lo Yelach Elohim Acherim. And many hold it's one command. Knowing Anochi Hashem is the same as not having any false gods. So when Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, Ani Hashem, that was a tzivoy. That was an implied command that the pasuk doesn't clearly state, but Yechezkel says very clearly, that's what happened. Hashem wanted it to be conditional. Get rid of your idols. And then that's what Pasuk Zion means. I'm going to take you to me as a nation. Vayisi lechem le'elohim, and I'm going to be a God for you, a personal God. V'yadatem, but the point of it is, you shall come to know ki ani Hashem Elokechem. Now knowing in our understanding is doing. It's knowing is doing. It can't be a disconnect between knowing and behaving. However, in the end, Klal Yisrael did not rid themselves of their idols, of their pagan, of their polytheistic, attitudes. Nevertheless, Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim anyway. Why? And this is what we spoke about a few times. We'll reiterate it. Leman shemi, for my own sake, Hashem says, lebilti hechel le'enegam, should not be desecrated in the eyes of the nations that I am making myself known to. Now, remember what we said. Of the greatest chesed that Hashem has ever done for Klal Yisrael. And we mentioned this in Shemoneh Esrei, right? Mevi goel lebnei b'neihem leman shemo, on account of his name. This is what Hashem said to Yaakov. Remember when he was on his way down to Mitzrayim to meet Yosef? He says, and he knew the golus was starting. Anochi ered imach, I'm going to go down with you. And I will bring you up. And then he adds two more words, v'gam alo. And I will go up. And the Beis Halevi says there, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did there is eternally, He bound his name to Klal Yisrael, that Hashem will only be known as Yudkei Vavkei through the redemptions, the Yeshuas, the salvations of Klal Yisrael. So he must save Klal Yisrael in miraculous ways, ensure our survival, our ongoing existence, and our ongoing attachment to Torah, because that is the only way that Hashem's name, Yudkei Vavkei, is going to be known in the world. Yes, Hashem could do great miracles to make his known name be known. He could change everybody's hearts and minds to make his name be known. He could turn everybody, you know, open up everybody's minds and give everybody nevuah so that they know that Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei, and that's how Hashem's name will be known. But those are not what Hashem is doing. Hashem is going to set up a system till this very second that Hashem's name will be known through Klal Yisrael, through our survival, our connection to Torah. That he did out of love for Klal Yisrael. He cannot spin off independently, spin us off or spin himself off, and bring the world to a recognition of himself other than through Klal Yisrael. So he's bound to save Klal Yisrael. Therefore he says, you did not get rid of your avodah zarah, but nevertheless, va'as l'man shemi, I had to do it for my own name. I had to save you. Lebilti heichel le'enei ha'gagayim, it should not be desecrated. They should know me through, and it had to be through you. So I took you out of Mitzrayim with your avodah zarahs, and I brought you to the Midbar. Now, this is not the end of it. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, the malachim on the yam, there's a conversation. The forces of nature, really, are called malachim, right? You know this? Rambam explains that malachim are forces. Like when you talk about the malach Rifael, that means the force that God has embedded into nature, that there's a healing force, that people get healed, that the body rejuvenates itself, it heals itself. That force is called a malach. Gavriel, that people find strength and hope. That force, which is a human, a basic human embedded ability and drive, is called a malach. Okay, it's not a winged creature. There's all analogies. It's a force in the world. So when Klal Yisrael came to the Yam, the forces for existence, the realities of the world, so to speak, were arguing. It says the malachim were arguing. The malachim were in charge of splitting the sea. Said, why in the world are we splitting the sea? And their argument was very simple. Eilu ovdei avodah zarah, pointing to the Jews, their idol worshippers. Ve'elu ovdei avodah zarah, pointing to the Egyptians, their idol worshippers. So what's the difference? That was the truth. Klal Yisrael had lost their attachment to the monotheistic concept that had been developed by the Avos. Now, I just want to point out another very important thing here. We always mention it, but it's critical to know. When we talk about the 49th level of Tumah, this is what we're talking about. We are not talking about that they were murderers and rapists and thieves and that they were evil people. Okay, they morally were very, very, very highly developed, 1,000 times better than the Egyptians. Never think about the 49th level of Tumah as morally impure. Because if there's only 50 levels, and they were on the 49th, where were the Mitzrayim, who were corrupt on every level? They were the ultimate, most corrupt society in all the areas. Klal Yisrael was not corrupt at all. So when we're speaking about the 49th level of Tumah, we don't mean morally. We mean intellectually. They didn't understand monotheism anymore. They were sucked into the nature worship thing. And that's why it says they didn't listen to Moshe. They didn't obey Moshe to get rid of their idols. Why not? Kotzer ruach, their ruach. That's talking about their spirit. On a spiritual side, was so limited and so constrained. They couldn't think big thoughts anymore about one God. Where is all this evil coming from if there's one big compassionate God? Let's just speak to the minor gods, the gods that deal with us directly and maybe could help us. It was very difficult to keep your mind on these abstract concepts when you're suffering and you're working hard. So they fell, they sunk back into the idol worshipping mode. So they were tame intellectually, not impure morally and ethically. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're right. Nevertheless, I have no options. It's for my own sake. He brings them to the Midbar. Now, it says here in Yechezkel that in Mitzrayim, vayamru bi, they rebelled against me. Now, that word vayamru is very important because after they came out of Mitzrayim, they would have, as Moshe was told by the Sneh, taken a 3-day journey straight to Har Sinai. But since they didn't get rid of their idols, they couldn't come to Har Sinai full of Avodah Zarah So there was, it was a 6-week journey, and the main, most important stop along the way was Vayamru Mara. Now Mara is very important. Flip ahead to Perek Tes Vav in Shemos. Okay. What page are you on? What page you got? Right after the Shira, correct. Right after the Shira, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk 380, 26, Pasuk 22. Pasuk 22. And Moshe and Klal Yisrael traveled from the Yamsuf right after the splitting of the sea, and they came out to Midbar Shore. They walked 3 days, Velo Matsu Mayim. There was no water. You know what water is always a metaphor for. There's no Torah. They should have gone straight to Har Sinai. That was the plan. 3 days, but what happened? No, they can't go to Har Sinai. There's no Mayim. They are not ready to stand in front of Har Sinai. They're all full of Avodah Zarah. So what happens? Vayavo Marasa. They come to Mara. What is Mara? Velo Yochlu Lishtos Mayim. They couldn't drink the water. Mimara Ki Marim Heim. How many times do you have to say it? Because it was bitter. Therefore, they call the place Mara. In other words, accepting the Torah was bitter. It was difficult. Just like Vayamru, Hashem Yecheskel says, they couldn't do it. They couldn't find within them the, you know, ability, this like total, you know, the moment to just drop everything, total shift, accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get rid of their whole, everything they were used to. It was too difficult. Vayalinu Ha'am El Moshe Lemar, and they said, so what should we drink? Now what do we do? We don't know what, the water's bitter. We have water, but it's bitter. There's a Torah, but we can't reach it. We can't know how we're going to get there, how we're going to get to a point where we're able to drink it. But Yitzhak El Hashem, they look at this as name Hashem with Rachmanus. And Hashem showed Motzeh and Eitz. What do you think this Eitz is a reference to? Of course, the Eitz HaChayim. Eitz Chayim He, the Torah, right? Showed him it. Vayashlech el hamayim, he threw it into the water. Vayamtiku hamayim, the water became clean. Now what did the water became sweet. Now look at the next words. Sham, and there, Samlo, he presented to them, Klal Yisrael, Choku Mishpat. That's where he gave them Chukim and Mishpatim. That's the first time they were able to accept Torah mitzvahs. They were able to take that step. That's where, in Mara. Now, he didn't give them the whole Torah in Mara. Gave them a few dinim. Shabbos, Parshas Para, that's a whole other discussion. A few dinim to get them used to it. Just to acclimate them. Just to prepare them. And his Vasham Nisahu, and here he elevated them. Tested and elevated, because a nace is a flag. Here, in Mara, he took him out of Mitzrayim. He had to. His name was dependent on it. Crossed them on the Yam, though they didn't deserve it. Came to Mara, which is, in other words, gave them a second chance. There, they were able, the water became sweet. They took a couple of mitzvahs with them. This was the beginning. Then look at the next pasuk. Vayomer, then he said to them, Im Shamoa, remember, Lo Shamu, they didn't listen. Now, if you do listen to the voice, to the words of Hashem, and you do what's right, and then you hear, and you listen, and you abide by them, I will not let you suffer from all of the plagues of Egypt. I will cure you. In other words, Hashem is saying to them, you're so attached to that mindset. It's so hard for you to make this step, but I took you out anyway. And here at Mara, I'm giving you a second chance. I'm just giving you a few mitzvahs to acclimate you. Just take the step, and I will cleanse you. I will separate you. I will heal you from all of that poison, the pathology of Egypt. But you need to take a little step. Now, by the way, this message is reiterated at Mamad Har Sinai. And if you look at Perek Yutes, a very almost touching message here. Perek Yutes, Pasuk Hey. Okay. That's what page is that? Okay. Eric, your test, Pasuk Hey. This is before Maimon Har Sinai, when Hashem is coming to them, kind of presenting them with the offer, okay, to accept the Torah one more time. And now this is the whole thing, not just a few mitzvahs like in Mara. He says here, you've seen, Hashem says, look, he's going to make an offer. You've seen how I took you out of Mitzrayim, how I brought you on eagle's wings. Va'ata, now, im shamoa tishmu b'koli, if you listen, and he's speaking bin rachmanas, like you didn't listen to Mitzrayim, and I did it anyway. And then at Mara, I said to you, if you listen, then I'm going to cure you. And it'll be okay. It takes a while to kind of, for the body and the mind and the soul to rid itself of the disease, the intellectual disease, but it'll happen. I'll cure you. He's saying again, if you listen and you keep the bris, etc., then you'll be mamlechas kohanim, and everything will go from there. Rashi says something so touching. Parat pasukei va'ata. Now, he says, now if you listen, im ata tekablu aleichem, if you accept the Torah now, yerav lechem mikan ve'elech, it'll be sweet for you from this point on. In other words, Hashem understands. Shekol hatchalot kashot. All beginnings are difficult. That's Rashi. He understood that this step was a huge step. Brace yourself, take it, accept everything, and I promise, once you jump in, you commit, it will get sweeter. It will get sweet from this point on, which is a reference to the bitter waters that will get sweet, that got sweet in Mara. So here what we're seeing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this entire Yetziah, was conducted with pure rachmanus and chesed and ava for Klal Yisrael. It's the same for us. They didn't deserve it at all on an intellectual basis, although, as we said, morally, they kept themselves on a high level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him out anyway because the greatest chesed of all the chasadim is that Hashem bound his name to our name. And then he gave them a chance at Mara and he eased them in slowly. And then at Har Sinai he cajoled them and he said, if you accept it, mikan ve'elech, from this point forward, it will get easier. It will get sweeter. Now that's really the case. The case is, like in everything, it's the same muscle in exercise, in healthy eating, in any type of commitment. It seems so daunting before we start out, and it is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not do it for us. We always must take the first step. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is encouraging us and being patient along the way and rooting really for us. As we take the first step, then things start to find their way. Kol hatchalot kashot. All beginnings are difficult.
You need the first push.
You need, well, the push, what we're saying is Hashem pushes and pushes, but we have to take the first step. We have to take the first step. So here, this idea that, first of all, that we said that you really can't learn pshat unless you know Tanakh. What is this referring to? And that's why Moshe is saying, Klal Yisrael didn't obey me to get rid of their Avodah Zarah. Why in the world would Paro redeem a people to serve a God that they don't even act like they believe in? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And nevertheless, Paro is going to redeem them, and they're going to get into the Midbar, and then experience great Nisim, and there, along the way, they'll accomplish what they were destined to accomplish. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry about Paro. I'm going to do great Nisim through him, teach the world a big lesson through him. He won't hinder it. And the Kal V'Chomer makes a lot of sense. But the whole thing will be over, you know, kind of like submerged. So with so much chesed and avar for Klal Yisrael, we will reach our goal, you know, despite ourselves. So here also, we all just take a lot of, it's really, it's chizuk, and it's a reminder not to be disheartened when we see, when we kind of know really, really where we should be going and what the next step is, and we don't find the courage in ourselves to do it because we know that taking a step means that we're committed, that we're going to, that one step is not one step, it takes you down a whole path, that you can't be a hypocrite anymore, and you can't be a fraud, and you make a decision, and therefore you kind of have to stick to it, and there's no going back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but don't worry, do it, and, you know, you'll see, it'll be good. Okay, now I want to make a couple announcements, though, and take any questions. Yeah. Whole separate thing, what Arel Sfasayim is. That Moshe, the basic pshat on that is, that Moshe understood that his mission is not just to give Klal Yisrael a message. Moshe's mission was to completely rehabilitate the nation. In other words, he could speak in the name of Hashem and say, this is Hashem's message. But that was not Moshe's only job. He had to become their mother and their father and their teacher and their mentor. He had to put in a huge amount of effort that had nothing to do with his specific nevuahs to teach them. And now he was really saying, do I have what it takes to re-educate an entire nation? I can say the words you tell me to say, or Aaron can say them for me. But it's much bigger than that. Now I have to, as a person, as Moshe, our teacher, now Moshe the Navi, completely transform this people. And that takes chokhmah and insight and patience and love and persistence and all of that. Now, two announcements. First of all, we have started a Tehillim Chabura Monday mornings at 9:15 at Rivka Fuchs's house. If anybody wants to join, it's a small interactive group. In addition, I'm supposed to announce that Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, I'm teaching a tefillah group, starting from the beginning, at the Amein group, rather, a tefillah class, starting at the beginning. If you know, the way it works, usually, the way it's worked in the past, I do one in Brooklyn and I do one in Queens. You know, we're in our third year already in Queens. We're only up to Shema. It's really in-depth. But we're starting Amir Tashem, a long-term project, 1 o'clock on Wednesdays at the Amein group.
Is there a
text? You could buy my grandfather's Rav Schwabam prayer. But we're not only working out of that, but that's definitely an awesome, awesome text. Rav Schwab on prayer by my grandfather.
Will that be on the OU site?
It will be online. Torah anytime. Wednesdays at 1. It's starting January 12th. Not this week. Wednesday? Next Wednesday. Also, the only Thursday, Mirat Hashem, that we won't be here in January will be the 27th or the 28th. I forgot what date it is. Also put your names on the Young Israel's Lauren Cedarhurst email list so you'll know if we cancel. And today's shir was Le'iloi Nishmas Yosef Alexander Ben Dov, who went to his kfurat this morning, a young man, and his neshama should have an aliyah and should be a male tzioshar for everyone.
January 6th?
Huh?
January 6th meeting or not?
Yeah, we're good to go.
I'm here.
Yeah. I never said that.
You announced January 6th.
I'm going to Florida on the Thursday night, my Friday morning. No, I'm here. Did you get the 5 pounds Jewish times?
Yeah.
So it's in there. It's going to be in there.
The address number.
I always feel better.